Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In verse 11 of Psalm 16, the Word of God says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Have you ever met somebody, maybe not yet, but probably you will if you haven't yet, who says to you, "Why in the world would you want to deal with God? Why would you want to give your life to God?" And you notice that this person, whoever it is that they ask this, it's invariably true. They're searching for some form of happiness, but they're searching for it apart from God. And the crazy thing about that is you can't sustain happiness apart from God. Well, here's the reason. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. You want to know how to have joy in your life? Get into the presence of God. And then you will have joy. Now, joy is different than happiness. Joy is much better than happiness. The reason is because happiness depends on your circumstances. If things go well for you, you are happy. If they don't go well for you, you are sad. Happiness is dependent on circumstances. If I had the wrong thing for dinner last night, the next morning I'm not so happy. That's not really very useful. Joy, however, is different. Joy is much more stable. Joy does not go away very easily, because joy is found in the presence of God. So we're not looking for happiness. People who look for happiness basically try to catch the wind. And you may be able to grab it for a few moments, but in a few more moments, you're going to see it go away. Sometimes people think money will give them happiness and pleasure, but that can go away too. So they think to themselves, if I have a lot of money, then I will have happiness and pleasure. That's not really true either. One of my favorite stories about this, it's a true story about, maybe 15 years ago now, maybe 20 actually. I was downtown soul winning, and I met a guy. In the morning, he had $10 million. In the evening, he had 10 cents. He lost all of his money in one day, because he invested it in the wrong thing. And that day it went bust. And so he lost his entire fortune, and it was a pretty good fortune, in one day. That's a bad day. His happiness went right out the window if that was his source. But the source of joy is simply being in the presence of God. The source of joy is having God working in your heart. The source of joy is drawing near to Him. One of the strangest and most reliable things there is when people draw away from God, they withdraw from Him, they stop having Him in their life, they move in a different direction, they think to themselves, I'm going to do my own thing. Invariably, and it's amazing how this works, invariably they end up in some form of miserable. Those aren't happy people. They're never content. Millionaires who have to be billionaires. Billionaires who have to be multi-billionaires. You get these people who are famous. Okay, so you're making millions of dollars playing football, and you're with a group of people on a team that you really enjoy, but no, you need more millions of dollars playing a child's game. And so they do it. And it always blows my mind. And they take the joy right out of it. A lot of people complain about that. Even the spectators complain about that, that the players who no longer have any joy in it don't play with all their heart. Why? Because they don't have any joy in it. It's no more fun. It's a job. And so people are always excited about these young guys, even though they can't play as well, because they're more exciting. Why? Because there's joy in it for them. They're just happy to be there. Well, a lot of things are like that in life. You don't try to find happiness in things. You find joy in the presence of God. But here's the thing about that. joy, which is basically like this calm delight, it's really like gladness with contentment. There's joy, as opposed to happiness, which is this frilly little excited feeling, happy, because things go well. Well, joy is much deeper, but joy becomes the source of your strength in Nehemiah 8:10. People who have no joy become very weak people. The strongest people there are people with joy. I always marvel at certain individuals who have these tremendous pressures in their life. And then you learn a little bit about them. And you wonder, how in the world do they do this? And they do it, and invariably, because there's a source of joy in their life. Joy becomes your strength. So when you're in the presence of God, that's when you become really strong, because you have joy. Sometimes people really suffer profoundly, and there's great joy in their life. And you think to yourself, how do you do that? And the answer is, they draw near to God. They get His Word, they get prayer. The way that I draw near to God in 1 John 1:4 is His Word. I draw near to the Word of God. In other words, I read the Word, I listen to the Word of God, I believe the Word of God, I meditate on it, and then I do things like pray, which comes along with the Word of God. That's what the Word of God produces in me. I'm having a conversation with God. Imagine that. You can have a conversation with God. And the amazing thing is, when I speak to Him, He'll answer me. Well, that's how we enter into joy. And when I have that joy in my life, in Ecclesiastes 5:20, it keeps me in God's purpose for my life. Well, God's ways are better than mine. What God desires for me is much better than even what I can desire for myself. And the reason why that takes place is because God can think of more than I can. His imagination is much bigger than mine. He thought of things I don't even know exist. I mean, just recently, this past week, they got a picture of a black hole finally. Or so they say. Well, those have been out there ever since creation. And God thought of them. And now, 6,100 and roughly 40 some odd years later, we can finally get a picture of one. But do you know, it wasn't until like 40 years ago that somebody even actually came up with the idea that they exist. And God just thought of them, and hey, let's make a black hole. There it is. And now we're figuring out, you see, this is the kind of mind that is working on our behalf when we draw near to God. And since He's always thinking positively toward us, since He's always looking for our benefit, since He always wants things to go in our favor, even if they seem difficult, the outcome is in our favor. When I draw near to God, He gives me better than I could possibly do for myself. And that includes in everything. If I draw near to God, my job will go better. If I draw near to God, school will go better. If I draw near to God, relationships will go better. Everything goes better when I draw near to God. Why? Because He can do more for me than I can do for myself. He's bigger than I am. And the way that He keeps me in His purpose is with joy. It's an amazing thing. God says, I'll give you great joy, and that joy will become your strength, and it will keep you in all the things that I have for you. Which, by the way, are immense. Ephesians 4:20, He says, He goes above and beyond anything that I can ask or think, and even if I think I can ask or think a lot, He can think a lot more. You draw near to God and you get joy. Simple as that. You draw near to God and you get joy. Have you ever seen somebody who lacks joy? They've withdrawn from God. Simple reason right there. They've withdrawn from God. And they may do all the religious things. They may show up physically. But in their heart, they've withdrawn from God. Their thinking has withdrawn from God. The Word of God says in Isaiah 16:10 that joy can be stolen from you. The devil will try to steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. The number one way that he steals your joy is self-pity. Young people, learn this. It's going to serve you well. Do not tolerate self-pity in your life. Feeling sorry for yourself. Don't tolerate it. Everybody is tempted to go there from time to time. Don't tolerate it. If you start to feel sorry for yourself, get out of that quickly. Kind of mentally slap yourself upside the head and say, stop that. Self-pity is poison. Never get into self-pity. It'll kill you. It'll steal your joy. It'll make you weak. It'll make you negative. It'll make you miserable. And it will destroy your life. Never allow yourself to live in self-pity. Feeling sorry for yourself is a killer. And the funny thing is, people do it and there's no need for it. Like, okay, you're saved. First of all, you are saved. That means no matter what happens, you're going to go to heaven when you die. What a terrible thing. Seriously? How can you have self-pity if no matter what happens, you're going to go to heaven when you die? That's like the most amazing thing in the universe. I can totally blow everything, but I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I'm saved. Like, that's phenomenal. I can do everything possible wrong, and yet because I'm saved, I'll still end up in heaven when I die. How in the world am I going to feel sorry for myself? Oh, things are so hard. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Are you serious? Things are so hard. Can't God do absolutely anything, including on my behalf? You're telling me things are so hard? God Almighty, the powerful God, lives in you. What do you mean things are so hard? If things are so hard, you're doing them wrong. If life is a booger, you're thinking wrong. It's not that hard. You know when it becomes hard? Is when I get into all this muck. Self-pity, wrong focus. That's one of the things that self-pity does. It changes your focus. And things become like really weird. I look at the problem. That's all there is in my vision. I only see problems. Well, then open your eyes. You only see problems? Seriously? You only see problems? Didn't God create the heavens and the earth? Didn't God give you life? Isn't God in charge of all this? You only see problems? Seriously? You're a priest and a king. You're the child of the great king. He will not withhold any good thing from you, and you only see problems? Are you weird? Yes. You see, we're so weird the way we think. We need a t-shirt. Don't be weird. There is no reason for me to go there. People go there because they want to feel sorry for themselves and their emotions are so big. Really? Your emotions are that big? I'm so miserable. Really? You're so miserable? Man, you would think, like, you're going to go to hell when you die. Okay, if you're going to go to hell when you die, maybe you have a reason to be miserable. But you're not going to go to hell when you die. You don't have that option. You're stuck with heaven. And that's pretty good. Imagine this. You're going to have rewards for eternity. You're living with a God who takes care of all of your needs. If there's ever a need in your life, God will take care of that need, and it doesn't matter what the need is. Let's say that you're somebody who's very lonely. And you don't really have anybody. And there's not a lot of people like this, but there are some. They have no family. They have no friends. But God says He takes those kind of people and He brings them a family. He does that. Let's say that you have no food. God says He'll bring you food. He does that. I've actually seen Him do that for people. I knew a missionary in Norway, and he gave away all of his support money because he was helping other poor people. And he didn't have literally a single piece of food in his house. And his wife said to him, "Honey, we have eaten all there is. There is nothing left in the house to eat." The next morning, he didn't tell anybody. There was a big pile of groceries at his front door. Why? Because God takes care of your need. And he spoke to some lady in her heart and he said, "Buy these people some groceries." And she left a note. I have no idea why, but God told me to buy you groceries. So she had this big pile of groceries for them in front of the front door. Why? God takes care of your need. God answers your prayer. And even if it seems like the prayer is like kind of like, "Hey, would he really do that?" Yeah, he'd really do that. It's like that time I asked for a laptop computer and I wanted it to be a Dell laptop computer because I didn't want an El Cheapo laptop computer. And I didn't have the money for a laptop computer. And I said, "God, I want you to give me a laptop computer. It would really help me if I could get one." And people would say to me, "You're not going to get a laptop computer. God's not going to do that. You're going to have to buy it." I said, "God will give me a laptop computer because I asked Him for it." You know what? He gave me a laptop computer and I didn't pay a penny. And He gave me an expensive bag to go with it. God will answer your prayer. It doesn't matter what the prayer is. God will answer your prayer. What is there to be miserable about? I can't lose. I can only win with God. What is there to be miserable about? If a trial comes into your life and things are difficult, you have God's promise, and He cannot lie, that the end of the trial is going to be fantastic. What is there to be miserable about? It's like this. You go to work every day. Or you guys go to school every day. But imagine being young that you're now adults and you're working. You go to work every day. And you get a paycheck. And that's why you go to work, so you can get a paycheck. And the paycheck, much to your surprise, because you might have expected like a certain amount of money at the end of the week. But much to your surprise, the paycheck was like a million times bigger than what you anticipated. And you get the paycheck, you open it up, and you say, "Hey, look at that. How cool is that? I didn't get paid, let's say, I don't know, $600. I got paid $6 million this week. I'll take that." And you know what? That's what God does. He goes above and beyond all you can ask or think. And so you may go through a trial, but the end of that trial, the end of that trouble that sometimes we all face is fantastic. It's like the best thing ever. And then you look at the thing and say, "Wow, I was so miserable, but look how well this turned out. This is awesome. I could do that again." Well, you know what? That's how it works with God. Satan will lie to you, telling you that you have no reason to trust God, that you have no reason to be happy, that you have no reason, that God's not going to do anything for you. And he starts to get you to feel sorry for yourself. And when you start feeling sorry for yourself, you start to move away from God and you lose your joy. And the whole idea was to take your joy away. Don't ever let the devil do that to you. If you get that thought in your head, you recognize where that thought came from. It's not your thought. It's a thought that was whispered into your ear by the devil. And you just put that thought out the door. Say, "I'm not going to think that. That's stupid." Let me ask you something. How many people like stupid thoughts? I enjoy my stupid thoughts. Okay, that's what it's like when we entertain, when the devil whispers in our ear. We're enjoying stupid thoughts. Stupid thoughts are stupid. Don't entertain them. Don't let them stay there. The devil ever tries to lie to you that way, forget it. Recognize what it is. Throw it out of there. Don't entertain it. Don't indulge it. Don't say, "No, I'm not thinking that. That's dumb." And then you start drawing near to God again. If you lose your joy, you draw near to God by His Word. In other words, you start receiving His Word, you start thinking with His Word, and before long, your joy is restored, and you are very powerful, you're very strong that way, you're not movable, things don't upset you nearly like they used to, and you stay put in God's purpose for you, which is the greatest thing that a person can get, is God's purpose for them. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.